Aloha, this is Kailua Moon. My name is Nani.
And I'm Danny.
We just released our newest album called
Back to Paradise. It will be available on our website. You can check that out at kailuamoon.com. And it is also going to be coming to your favorite streaming platform.
So stay tuned for Annie Talks.
Annie Talks. Welcome to the show. Here we go with Annie Talks.
Thank you so much for being on the show, you guys, Nani and Danny. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I really, really, truly appreciate it.
It's so good to see you.
Oh, yeah. It's so nice to have you. And you guys, they're all the way from Hawaii. Actually, where in Hawaii are you guys?
We are in Kailua right now on the island of Oahu. And it's sunny.
And
first time this week.
It's hot.
Is it really? Oh my goodness. Yeah. It's starting to get there for us here. So I'm envious, but almost not too envious because I don't know. I'm so not prepared. I'm not prepared for summer. We've been waiting for it. We've been hating this cold weather, and now that summer's upon us, I just need to get into full swing. But I appreciate you guys being on the show. You have no idea how excited I am to get to talk with you guys and to learn more about Kailua Moon. So let's get started.
So, as we talked about, I grew up here in Hawaii, really, really immersed in Hawaiian music. My parents played slacky guitar. I would go along with them to their lessons from like when I was 2 years old, to some really, really legendary slacky players in the community. Mm-hmm. And as time has gone on, and as I've learned more about Hawaii's history and Hawaii's culture, and I really began to realize, I began to have a much broader vision for my music, and it was a vision that included singing, which meant I had to learn how to sing.
not just play slacky, but
it included telling stories, it included singing, it included writing new music. One of my teachers in this art form, his name was Dennis Kamakahi. He's a great writer of Hawaiian songs. And he said, if you don't write, then Hawaiian music is like a history body in itself. It's a folk tradition. You tell stories in songs of your time. Mm-hmm. And if you don't tell stories about your own time, then everybody's going to look back in the future and on today and be like, oh, well, what happened here? Everybody from this period is just singing about this period, and there's this gap. So he told me it was really important to tell our story today. So all of these things began piecing together. I took some time off from recording and really started to figure out, okay, well, what is our story about today? And during that time, I was touring. I was starting to tour more to different parts of the U.S. mainland. I got the chance to go to the East Coast a bit, Virginia, New Jersey, New York. I got the chance to go to the West Coast a bit. And that is when I met Nani.
Yay.
Who, in addition to being an awesome person and coming from a really unique and wonderful family, artistically, she also had a few things she did a few things really well that I just never really came to naturally to me. And we started to write songs together. We found this sound between the two of us that I still think is really unique. Mm-hmm. And that's
that's your story.
That's my story.
That's awesome.
I'm sick too.
Okay, Nani, so give us the real scoop. No, I'm kidding. Give us the scoop. So from your perspective, how what was your background, of course, and then the union between the two of you and how that became?
Yeah, so I am originally from Ventura, California, so I'm a and I moved over, I think it was like almost 3 years now, but during the time that I was living in California, I was under the direction of my mom's halal, and all I did was dance hula, and I started when I was 3, and it was for the longest time until I left to be with Danny. But during that whole entire time, I was dancing, but also singing and doing background vocals for my mom because we couldn't hire musicians from Hawaii. My mom had to pick up the 8-string ukulele and start singing for her students. We had about 70 students at the time, and we were doing hula competitions back and forth, and finally, my mom started to bring me in to sing. And my parents, I love them. They've inspired me. And that's kind of my background. I've never really had full-on singing lessons. I just learned from my mom. And my dad played guitar, even though he was a fire captain. After he would get back from his shifts, he would teach me ukulele, guitar, a little bit of bass. And they just encouraged me for so many years. And during that time as well, when I was 16, I met up with Daniel Ho. And that's when I started to move into a career for performing and being a singer and hula dancer.
That's a great story. So now, because it seems like on both sides of the spectrums, I mean, you both had the musical background, you both had the musical exposure. So it was almost kind of, well, obviously it was something that was picked up and something learned, and but it was also very natural to you because you were embedded in it. And I love that. I love learning the backstories. If you know anything about me, I love all the backstories of everything. I love to hear all these wonderful, like, treasured nuggets that nobody gets to hear about. And I know that there's people like myself wanted to know just basically what your backgrounds were and how the two of you guys came together. So now, who would you say, well, talk a little bit more about your performing backgrounds separately and then now together.
So I started my first album, East of Maui, when I was in college. So I became a singer instead of a dancer. But that was going on tour with Uncle George Kahumoku, who is a renowned Slacky artist as well, who was with Uncle Dennis too. So the interesting stories about between us, like even also how we met, we knew everybody in the community. We just never met. So I danced hula for a lot of the Slacky artists. He learned from all of them. And when they went on tour, they saw me, but I never got to see Danny.
Oh, wow. And then
So, but during that time, like I was working with all these musicians, Danny was on the other side on Oahu, learning.
Now, who would you say are your biggest influences in your growing up and then even now?
I think at the beginning it was Daniel Ho. He taught me how to engineer, music, and I watched a lot of things behind the scenes while he was recording, especially Kuli Kapuna Vai's CDs, Kawai Kapu Okalani Hewitt as well. And just he inspired me and pushed me to learn music, to be a professional behind the scenes and in front of people as well. And then later on, also with my parents included, they definitely have inspired me too. But I would say him now, he's definitely been an influence on my music and has pushed me to, you know, start singer-songwriting and being the artist that I want to be now. And
And then Danny, so who were your influences growing up? And then, I mean, would you say that maybe some of your other influences have impacted even now today your songwriting and your playing as well?
Yeah, it's evolved over time. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to figure out where to start.
You have many.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm kind of the way I. Music is a world for me, and you know, just like our physical world, it's like you go through it, and it's like, you know, every conversation you have, every person you meet kind of you know, leaves their mark on your sensibilities. Mm-hmm. So pinpointing exact influences is hard, but I'd have to start with my teachers. There's a man named Ozzie Kotani who doesn't quite tour as much now as he used to, but he is a remarkable slacky guitar player. He is a staunch traditionalist in this community, and I'm very proud of that. He is very dedicated to perpetuating Hawaiian music in all forms, especially when it comes to the guitar. Mm-hmm. He was my teacher for close to 6 or 7 years, from when I was like 10 years old all the way through high school. And he really taught me an important skill at the time, which was that I did not have access to a band. I was kind of an odd kid. I didn't really have other kids my age that I could play music with, you know. There weren't a lot of kids at school who were interested in playing the music of Gabby Pahinui and all of these Hawaiian greats that I had grown up on. Everyone was more interested in, you know, popular music of the time. Mm-hmm. So I played a lot by myself, and I learned to treat the guitar as my band and lead vocal and, you know, the whole, you know, the entire, everything that I needed for the music was in this one instrument. And Ozzy taught me to really maximize that voice. As time went on, I started to sing myself, and the role of my guitar has evolved with it. There's a man who has influenced my music a lot, not just because he was a teacher of mine, but because he was a mentor when I was beginning to craft my identity as an artist, and his name was Uncle Dennis Kamakahi. Mm-hmm. Talked about earlier, I might have. But in addition to telling me I needed to write and encouraging me to develop, he really just his music and the sound of his voice was something that I had grown up listening to already. And looking back on his career now, I realize he was really kind of a maverick in the Hawaiian music community. He would, he always wrote Hawaiian songs, but he would be bringing in influences from other styles of music that he loved to listen to, like the blues and country music and all of these things that I never really listened to in my life. Mm. But then when I found them for myself and started to play them, I was like, why does this feel so familiar to me? Oh, wait a minute, because because it was there in, yeah. You know, as an influence in the music guy. So he was a huge influence, Uncle Dennis. He was the one who taught me to never be afraid to blend genres together. Mm-hmm. Ledward Ka'apana, he's another slacky guitar player from here. Those of you who have seen Led Ka'apana play will know exactly what I'm talking about, but he taught me to have fun with it. Mm. You know, he is a man who, if people speak with their instruments, he is a comedian. Yeah. Mm. In the best sense of the word. And so all of these people really left their mark on my music. And lately I've been listening to a lot of music that tells stories. I've been listening to a lot of
a lot of
Bruce Springsteen stuff. I've been revisiting that Billy Joel. She introduced
I
me
love
to
Billy Joel.
Billy Joel
and Tom Petty.
Music, so. Tom Petty. you know, songwriters who told stories and who said things that really needed to be said during their time.
And Dolly Parton and Kacey Musgraves.
Yes.
So lots of country artists that we are very inspired now.
That's interesting, because I heard today, funny, because I was listening to the news today and they were talking about, some of the country music awards, the recent country music awards, and that Yeah, and one of the anchors was talking about the lyrics and how heartfelt it is, and how telling and picture storytelling and picture visually visualizing country music is. And I see that with Hawaiian music as well. I mean, I grew up like some of the friends that you were talking about earlier. I grew up knowing all of the popular, Hawaiian music at the time. And it wasn't until like later, in my older years that I started hearing some of the more traditional music and hearing, I can't pronounce the names, so please forgive me. All the beautiful ones that you spoke about earlier, hearing their music for the first time was just, even though I knew nothing of what they were talking about, because I don't understand it, right? I mean, I'm Hawaiian at heart, but I'm not Hawaiian, obviously. But hearing the music and just, and how melodic it is, and just how, how heartfelt the way in which they sing. And I find that the same with your music as well. And some of the things that I've seen on YouTube, oh my gosh, just some of the covers that you guys have done recently, even though they're, the more traditional, or not traditional, but contemporary covers, just your versioning is unbelievable. And I, I'm like the first to see it. I don't know if you see my comments. I'm always like, oh my God, oh my God. It's because I'm like, I get so excited because I want to hear. I love the way you guys do your covers. And I think everybody else is, can agree that, you're definitely, I believe you're definitely, match made in heaven, and you complement each other in the way in which you, the way in which you sing, the way in which your performicality, I love that word, performicality, and the way in which you write your music. So, and even just your arrangements. I mean, it's just, oh my gosh, it's bar none. So, I mean, I have to say that I absolutely adore your music.
And thank you, so kind. Thank you.
Yeah. So the influences are definitely, coming through, and but you're also not only being influenced by that, but you're also making it your own and embracing it. And I super love that. So, thank you for doing that, and for, being an example for some of the new artists or today's generation, because maybe they wouldn't otherwise never be able to hear some of, the older traditional music in the way in which you do those as well. But even some of the newer contemporary stuff that you're doing, the covers that you're doing now, I mean, there's so much more to the world of music, and I think you guys are bringing that to light. So
thank you.
Absolutely. Now, you may have already talked about this, but maybe your aha moment, can you talk briefly about what clicked in your head that might kind of made you come to say, oh my gosh, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. What was that moment that happened?
I always like to say that it never happened. I think it was just like given to me by my family. So it was just, I was forced into it.
I didn't choose it.
It chose me.
And it chose wisely. That's what we say.
I think when I finally left, my job at the museum out in Oahu, I kind of just,
recently.
It was recent because it wasn't, I've always been a dancer and I've always been a singer. I like to go into my room and play guitar, share it on YouTube. That was kind of it. But Danny, when I got here, he was like, we need to form a band. Like I want to get out there. I want to do things. And so I guess my aha moment was like, oh, this could actually work, is when we started gigs every single day of the week. And I thought, okay, maybe this could work.
There's a backstory behind this. So we haven't mentioned it yet, but we are together. We are engaged, and we've been together for about 4 years. 4 years?
4 years, yes.
The only reason why it's important to count at the moment is because the first year of that, we did not perform together. No. We were like, she'd come up and dance hula on a couple of songs, but most of it was me performing.
I was creating venues for
and
him
behind the scenes, I was like, please
perform. So that's when it kind of started.
That's good. Yeah. I'm so glad you did that, Danny. Oh my gosh.
I guess I'm not to be born into it, but to make it a career. Yeah. Mm-hmm. try to make it a career, I guess. Yeah. Like it definitely hit me this past year.
Well, you have to be absolutely ready to embrace it, and you have to be absolutely to charge ahead of it when you decide that, because it's scary, you know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't grow up wanting to be a musician. I grew up accepting the fact that it would be a much easier life to do almost anything else. Yeah. And it wasn't until I started working on the last album I made before meeting Manny, when that was the first album that I tackled everything by myself. I had some really good mentors and some really good musicians I was working with, but the creative vision of the album, the mixing the audio and the arranging of the songs and all of that was the first time that I was taking on majority of that. And that was when I kind of realized, because I've had some form of ADD as long as I can remember, and you know, focusing on things that I don't like doing has always been very challenging to me. This is the first time in my life at age 23, 24, it was the first time in my life where I could sit for 8 hours on end just working on something and not feel the slightest bit challenged for focus. And you know, I had found something that I was really driven to do, and I realized, well, I mean, it's only been staring you down your whole life. Maybe you should give it a try. Yeah. So that was the moment for me. And ever since then, I've been trying to, you know, figure out different ways to navigate this road, because nobody really gives you instructions in this field. Yeah. Everybody who tries to give you instructions ultimately ends up with, you just got to see what works for you. And it's really true.
I 100% agree with that. I think in all aspects, right? I mean, not just in the music industry or in the music field, but anything, any young listeners that are still trying to figure out, like, you know, what they want to do, or, you know, am I going about it the right way? You know, you could surround yourselves with mentors, but ultimately it's you that has to have that fire and that desire and that passion, and without it, then you're just going to wander around aimlessly. But I think you know, when you guys already knew that you already had the background, you already had the upbringing, you already had the influence, and you were already immersed in it, I think when it clicked for you, it was like, I think you had to have known, like, I think this is what I'm meant to do. So I think that's what I'm trying to get across to some of our listeners too, because there's so many of them. I get questions all the time from listeners, you know, or followers, like, how do you know when it's the right thing? So Nani, like, when did you know it was the right thing? I mean, outside of, you know, being kind of reeled in by Danny there.
Yeah, it's a, you know what, when it finally, you have to put the work into it. I think a lot of people think, like, oh, you can always get up and go on stage and just sing, you know, or you can grab a guitar and just go for it. Like, I think for me, like,
there's a lot of prep time.
There's a lot of prep time, and I didn't put the time in for it as much as I wanted to, because I thought, like, okay, graduate from college, get a job, do this on the side. And I think when it finally just kind of, I don't know.
You were putting in time.
I was putting in time, but it wasn't enough time that I'm doing now. And I think having him, having somebody, or, you know, like your mentors to, you know, cheer you on or be by your side to play music, I think that's when I felt more confident in myself to be like, okay, I think I could believe in myself now to do what I want to do.
And I think that's important too. Yeah, you mentioned to cheer you on, and everybody needs a cheering squad, right? A cheerleader or a head cheerleader, or cheerleading squad. Everybody needs a support system, and the fact that you both had that already individually, and then now coming together is and being your support system for each of you. I think that's a wonderful.
Family that is very loving and caring from both sides of our families. It's definitely
patience.
it's hard to, like, have your daughter go over to Hawaii and be with a musician, but also be a musician as well. So I love my parents for being very supportive.
Yeah. Yes, we do. Thank you so much, Uncle Auntie, for letting her fly, be free. So let's talk about your CDs, your EPs, and your upcoming tours. And I also want to talk about something that just recently happened too. So for those of you who don't know, but let's talk about the music, the CDs first, and then we'll talk about that, which I didn't prep you for this, but I wanted to ask you about your recent nomination. So let's talk about your music or your CDs.
We actually have our product. It's on our website as well. Back to Paradise has been over a year and a half now in production, I believe, recording everything. We started last summer.
We recorded the first two songs in May. We recorded the majority of the band work in July. We did the vocals over time throughout the end of the year. And then
this is me juggling a 8-hour job and then coming back to the house to sing with the band. And so there's a lot of like movement throughout, and that's why I think it took a little bit longer. I think we could have knocked it out of the park if there wasn't all this other things that were going on. But yeah, it's called Back to Paradise. And it's our first official album with original songs and only four Hawaiian songs on it. So we wrote it with our friend Joel Levin, who is from California. And I'm very proud of this album because it's something that I wanted to put out for such a long time, and I just didn't have the tools or have Danny and his amazing friends on a team, a crew, I guess.
Awesome. And
Joel had this genius idea of doing an album, or not an album, but he had this concept for songs that coincidentally, I hadn't told him about it myself, but it had been circling in my head for a while. You know, growing up, you know, when somebody listens to Hawaiian music and starts delving into it for the first time, what you'll immediately see are not just a lot of songs in the Hawaiian language, but songs written in English that really use Hawaii's imagery in a really beautiful way. Mm-hmm. And these songs are classics to this day, you know, pieces like Hanalei Moon, and you know, these are just classic, timeless pieces that where Hawaii is the backdrop. It's unmistakably there, but it's in English. It is accessible to anybody who wants to listen to it. There was a time when many would argue that they weren't really Hawaiian, but if you think about it, the imagery is there, the feel is very much there. But all of these songs were written, or the majority of these songs were written in a certain period of time. It was like the 40s and the 50s. And,
right.
And classic as they are, what would it sound like if somebody did that today?
Yeah.
So Joel started writing these songs with her, and she showed me these little work tapes over the phone, and I'm like, this is amazing. We have to do this. So, and a lot of those ended up on this album. Our title track, our opening track, was definitely one of them. There's another song called Hula Moon that they wrote together that is pretty much the archetype of what I just described. He took images from these classic songs and turned them into this contemporary masterpiece that is like a dream for a producer, because you need a great song.
Yeah.
And when he gave us this song, I was like, I was so excited. I was so excited to work on it and show it to the band and get in there and bring it to life. So it was a dream of an album to work on for me, because it was the first time that I had that the songwriting portion was such that it gave me something to riff off of as an arranger and a producer, and so that's the idea behind Back to Paradise. It's a modern take on island classic island music.
And we also have a song from Sin Radio, California. We actually redid the whole entire song. And so there's a lot of songs that are in there that I have been singing for a very long time, and it just never got I don't know, the mastermind of Danny. Like, he's definitely definitely put a lot of my words into something that I never thought could actually happen. And with Joel helping me and revising stuff, like, it definitely, that's why I'm just so happy that this is out, and it's something that I truly feel good about sharing out into the world before I just didn't want to share. So
that's so nice. So why don't you tell us about a title on the CD that you are excited about, and tell us how you wrote it, and then we'll hear a real quick snippet of it.
Yeah, so this is probably the only one that doesn't sound truly Hawaiian. This was something that I had an idea. It was first called Just Another Day at the Circus, but this song is actually now called Parasol. I wrote this with my friend Joel, and I wanted to talk about kind of what it's like to be a performer. And even if you have your bad days, you still have to go on stage. And I think it kind of relates to everybody. You know, you're waking up and you don't want to go to work, but you gotta make that money and you gotta put a smile on and keep moving. And it's just like, hand me the parasol and I'll walk on the tightrope. That's kind of how I thought about life a little bit. Like, sometimes you just work too much, but you still have to keep, the show must go on, I guess.
Oh, wow. I love that. I love that analogy. And then, and you know, and that how you relate it to, you know, everyday life and, you know, having to go through that grind. So
yeah, there's a lot more in common than people think.
Yeah. So with that being said, Parasol became this monster of a song because after I wrote this little jingle, I gave it to Joel, and Joel's like, oh, no, this is something going to be much bigger. This is before I met Danny, and we wrote the song, never played it, and I just kept it to myself. I was like, this is something for me, and when I finally met Danny, I was sharing a few songs, and he was like, oh, my gosh, we have to do this, and so when we finally got to the full production of it, we had our friend Mark Lindberg bring in every single percussion, bell, whistle.
Sounds about a circus.
So it's about a circus.
We brought a circus to
timpanies,
it.
Kazoos. There was so many things that were going on.
Yes, and xylophones. But we really tried to play up the accordions. We really wanted to play up the circus theme of it, but also, as a performer, there's a theme of ups and downs that that you go through, where, you know, there's this high of being on stage and being with, it's like a social high, because you're connecting with a room of people, mm-hmm. In a really unique and powerful way, and then there's the breakdown, and then
taking down the end of the night. The show's over.
It's a very anticlimactic night. It's like you have this beautiful moment, and then you kind of by yourself for a bit. So we wanted the song to capture a bit of that dynamic as well, where there are quiet moments, and as well as these more intense and grand things. So really had a lot of musical fun with it.
Sounds like it, yeah.
Writing it.
Yeah. And we're just excited to share it with the world now. So we hope that everyone likes it.
Awesome. So now is a good time to take a quick listen to Parasol.
You can't please them all, but it's time for curtain call.
That was a lovely, lovely song. Thank you so much for sharing that with all of us. Now, why don't we talk about something that just recently happened? I saw this on your Facebook and I was super excited. You were recently nominated for an award. Tell us about that experience and tell us about how that all came about, and just paint that picture for all of us.
Do you wanna?
Sorry? Yeah, so in Hawaii we have this award show called the Nahoku Hanohano Awards. Hoku is star, so it's like the stars, so to speak. But this award show was created in the 1970s as a way to celebrate local artists, local recording artists specifically, kind of as a local equivalent to the Grammys, because we did not at that time have a big enough music scene for local artists to compete in the Grammys. So this became a way for Hawaii's community to celebrate Hawaiian artists. And it became a really prestigious thing over time. When we were recording this album, there was one song in particular that was relevant to the time we were recording it. We were recording this song called Aiola Opele. It's an old traditional Hawaiian chant about the famous goddess Pele, who's relates to volcanoes, fire, creation of land, all these beautiful things.
Destruction as well.
And destruction. Yeah. Well, it's a very, you know, cyclical
She's just making
thing
her way
of destruction
through.
And
yeah.
creation at the same time. And at the time we were recording it, there was a massive eruption happening on the island of Hawaii. It was going on. It wasn't really clear how long it was going to be. It just kind of kept going. Tutu Pele was clearly having a field day. And we were recording this song, and I thought, well, the rest of the album's not ready, but this is happening now. We got to get this out there. So we release it, and then the eruption stops.
As a single, Aiola Opele was brought out, and Lynn Piccoli,
our publicist,
she actually put it up to submit it for the Nahoku Hanohano. And
we forgot that we submitted because we were on tour at the time. She did the submission, and I was like, yeah, sure, so I should have sent it in, but we were focused on a million other things.
I woke up on
the
day of nominations. I was like, do we even submit? I don't know
if we submit. We're just looking through the list out of curiosity, and then all of a sudden, wait, what?
And it for Hawaiian Single of the Year, we saw Aiola Opele, Kailua Moon. I was like, oh my God. And it was all like the other five people that were in it were like our, you know, friends or, you know, our heroes, like for Hawaiian music since like we grew up. And it was just so neat just to see our name among these like stars already. So it was a very exciting morning, and we were very happy to be nominated.
Well, I have to say that for all of us here on the mainland, especially, we were like living vicariously through you, seriously, from the minute you found out, and then watching just the whole transformation when you guys were getting ready.
Yeah.
And, oh my gosh. And then your mom and your dad flying out, all that. It was like, oh my gosh. I was so happy that you took us on this journey with you.
It
was so fun. And that's why I was like, oh, I have to talk about this.
Yeah. It was a special night too. We got to see a lot of our friends and just the superstars of Hawaiian music. And it was such a treat just to be there. Of course, we did not win, but it was totally fine because we are so brand new. Yeah. It's ridiculous how brand new we are on this island as Kailua Moon. So, but yeah, we're going to submit back to Paradise for the next awards and hopefully try our best. So.
That had to be exciting because, you know, and very inspirational, right? Because knowing that, you know, for new artists, or new group, or whatever that category is, and then knowing that that could happen, it could come to fruition. So, you know, for listeners and for followers out there that want to do that, just know this is an example of, you know, just the hard work that you keep doing will eventually pay off, and it comes to fruition for both Nani and Danny and Kailua Moon. So I'm super excited, and like I said, I don't mean to stalk, but I was super excited. I was like, oh, look at this. This is so awesome.
That was my first awards. I've been to the Grammys, but the Nahoku is definitely very different, very local, and I loved everything about it. And the fashion this year was phenomenal. It was a lot of fun to see a lot of these fashionistas come out. And
I know. Awesome. Now let's talk a little bit more about what's coming up for you guys. What's new? What's around the corner for Kailua Moon?
Well, we are still in a bit of a soft release phase for the album. We haven't officially put it out to the masses yet. Okay. We're selling it at our shows, but we are working on making it available for digital streaming and distribution. Mm-hmm. So that will be in the works very soon. We are going to be coming back to California in the month of August to do a few events in the southern half this time.
Long Beach, Ventura. We're going to be back in Ventura again. Yeah. Actually, the really cool part, it's Romeo Chocolates, which is going to be in Long Beach. So like in Long Beach, it's a chocolate shop. Wow. And so that's in the works. He was my part of my mom's Kane group long, long time ago in the 90s. And we danced hula together. So he's like a hula brother. And he started his own chocolate shop and he wanted us over there. And we're very excited to be there for that.
Awesome. Okay. I will have all that information in the show notes so that everybody, so you have the opportunity to see them up close and personal. Why don't you tell us, I always like to ask these questions because, you know, because not everybody has the opportunity to, you know, to do what you're doing, to tour and to, you know, to experience that which you experience. So what are some of the things that, like, what's your twofold question? So what's your most memorable, or so maybe we do it the other way around. What's your most challenge? What was the challenge that you faced and how were you able to overcome them? And then what was, or what is the most memorable moment so far?
Here we go.
I'll do the challenging part. You do the memorable part. challenges. Okay. So, you know, actually, we've been
looking at
very blessed to have, you know, had really good experiences on the road, and you know, there are the scary thing about touring is that there are many, many things that can go wrong, and we are very fortunate and grateful that none of them have happened to us.
Right.
So, with that being said, part of the nature of doing this is that there is always that possibility, and there's always that fear that, you know, you get on a plane, and in our case, getting on a plane to go anywhere means at least 6 hours. We're flying for hours. We land, we rent a car, we go, we're driving sometimes for 3 or 4 more hours. Mm-hmm. And through this entire time, you're behind the wheel or in the passenger seat thinking, is there going to be anybody there? Like,
is anyone showing up?
You know, you can have some predictors of whether people are going to show up, but you don't actually know whether they're going to show up or not. And so the biggest challenge really has been, for me at least, has been learning to accept that uncertainty. There's a bit of fool's trust that just has to be there. So just so that you don't go crazy and just so that you have enough assuredness that things will work out.
Yeah.
Because at least in our case, it generally has. And I'm grateful for that. And I realize we're lucky, but that's definitely been the most consistent challenge we've had.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun though.
As a couple though, like we actually do okay on tour together. So I think that was never a challenge for us because both of us separately, we went on tour with different musicians, so we kind of know that work life and just you know, you do the show from the next, you have to drive very far. But yeah, it's always right. that one feeling like, is anybody gonna show up?
I can see how that can be the uncertainty, and then, you know, but it's, you know, I work at a comedy shop, part-time on the weekends. So I get that all the time with some of the comics that come from far away and they come to a show, and sometimes, you know, they're, you can see them, they're walking around, they're a little nervous. They're trying to prepare for their set, or for their, you know, they're going over their jokes in their heads and in their head, and they're thinking about, like, you know, I can see them as they're looking at the door, the front door, to see, you know, who's coming through, and it always works out, and there's always, you know, more than they expect. But I can totally understand that uncertainty. But but in your case, I think, I feel like, you know, you have such a good following that you know, people are just like running to the door to hear you. So I like to think so. Now, why don't you share some of your good times, good memories, or what's the most memorable moment that you've had so far?
As a brand new band, and especially being from moving from California to here, I think one of the ones that, like, I felt that was just very special, I felt like we were blessed, was for the Mamo Fashion Show. Wahine Toa is a very beautiful line of Hawaiian, Polynesian fashion. Right. And the granddaughter of Auntie Nita, who owns Wahine Toa, she found us on Instagram, and she wrote to us saying, hey, are you guys available to sing during our our walk? Like, because
it's a
fashion show, so right. They're walking and they're presenting all the new outfits that are coming out for the year, and they wanted us to perform, and we were, like, again, brand new.
This was within your first few months on the island.
Couple months. Wow. So, and they thought of us, and they're from Big Island, and they could have gotten anybody. And we were very lucky enough to be asked. And it was very memorable because it was at the Hawaii Theater. And it was always a dream for me to perform there. And it was something that was very special that I hold very dear to my heart, because they dressed us, they did hair and makeup, they put my hair all crazy, and
they really treated us like family.
And
too.
It was family, and family
as,
out here.
So. As hectic as of an atmosphere as a backstage at a fashion show can be, they were very, very warm to us
and loving,
and that really stuck with us a long time. And then they ended up sponsoring us with clothing in the future. So it's a connection that wasn't just for that night. It continued. And they've continued to support us to this day. So that was a real treat.
It was very special. And then I guess another one, like, for California, there's so many memorable moments because we got to meet you, Annie. And
thank you.
We're very blessed, like, at any venue. But I think the last one that I can remember that is very memorable right now is Moss Lane up in Granite Bay. And kind of just, like, the challenges of not knowing who's going to show up. We didn't really have any, like, people that we knew up north.
This is where the scary and the beautiful come together. And that's what makes it worth it. Because I mentioned how nerve-wracking it can be to drive a very long distance into what seems like the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to remember, I'm from a rock in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. And you're in these places, like, I mean, I have never seen stretches of land that even go this far without being terminated by ocean at some point.
Right. You're like, are we there yet?
And or like these places that are just like really rural, and there's like these like mansions separated by fields and fields and fields and fields of ranch land, and then you pull up to this random doorway, and inside is like this sanctuary of aloha.
Oh, and you feel it. Every place that we go to,
and there's people who want to hear music from your rock in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. Yeah. It is the most surreal thing to this day that I've ever experienced.
The Mustang is very memorable because it was the both of us as Kailua Moon. Usually it's always Dan Kamayo and featuring on me. Like, that's when we kind of how we started.
Right.
But this is the first time. It was the first time at Kailua Moon that it was posted at a brand new venue, and we've never met these people before. Yeah. And we just kind of like threw out a line, and they said, "Yes, come, we'll take you."
That's awesome. So, so you sometimes you just have to take that leap of faith, right?
Yeah.
and go out because you're called to do it, and one, and then you just have to take that leap of faith and know that it's gonna. Come together. I wanted to ask you this, and I didn't prep you guys with this, but I think it's a really interesting question, because how do you, what ritual goes through your mind, or how do you get yourself ready for a performance? And like, how do you keep yourself from hyperventilating? In my case, sometimes I'm like, oh my God, I can't go out there, I'm nervous. But I mean, how do you prepare for a performance? I mean, what's something that you must always do? Because this is just what makes you comfortable.
Naps. Naps. I think we do so many shows now, it's kind of like you just get into the flow of things. But when I first started out, naps are very important. They still are, because you have to have that energy on stage. And even if nobody's listening to you in Waikiki, like, you still have to have that energy for your bandmate. And so that is always like 20-minute nap, and then get ready. And I think me decompressing, listening to good music, being inspired by other musicians that don't even have Hawaiian backgrounds.
Listening to good music helps a lot.
And putting my makeup on, just getting ready for a show.
Like, right.
Time for yourself. And if there's songs that need to, like a ritual, you have to practice the songs. Yeah. It's not just gonna happen when you're on stage. And I think from like my theater days, it was always practice first. So you don't feel nervous up on the stage. You know what you're doing, and however you're going to deliver it, it's just going to happen. So that's kind of me.
And for you, Danny?
Biggest challenge over the years for me has been, guys have this the male voice has this really interesting challenge to it, where it has to be warm. And it changes drastically when you do warm up. So when you are warmed up. So I've been very fortunate over the past couple of years to have not had a show before noon in a long time. because when you wake up, you are not warm.
That's true.
I used to do scales and drive myself up the wall with them. But lately, my routine has basically just been making sure that I'm warm, whether it's just singing one of my favorite songs along to the radio in the car, or whatever, making sure that when I open my mouth, what comes out actually sounds like music. other than that, for me, this isn't something I have to do. I've never been able to depend on doing it, but it's something I like to do on occasion when I can. I got to do it last night. I always like to see the audience first, Okay. I like to kind of walk around outside and kind of like see who I'm going to be
for me too.
Room for the next few hours.
Wraps, Danny.
I'm joking, but it's I don't know, it's because you don't really get to know people when you're on stage. You're talking to them and they're looking back at you, but they don't really get to talk back to you all that much. Sometimes they might a little bit, but it's not, especially when you can anonymously observe. Yeah. It's really, I don't know. It's just something that like I always find it cool when I get to do on occasion. It doesn't happen often. Again,
calling my social butterfly. just trying to keep my energy all together, because I get like, it's very intense for me. Or like, I feel like I am an introvert. I don't like going out there, because that's when I start psyching myself out. I try to just keep everything, all my energy close, and then just deliver performance. But Danny is so good at talking to people and getting out there. And that's, I think that's one of your rituals that you do all the time.
Awesome. Talking to people helps because
I love talking to people. I just get like shy about it.
Because the other thing too is your mind is an instrument too. And you, as a showman, you have to, part of the show is relating to people. So for me, you know, just as you have to warm up your voice, for me, it helps to warm up my mind so that, you know, so that thoughts can turn into words more quickly. And, you know, it's getting the gears rolling a little bit just helps.
Yeah. I hear the term all the time, think on your feet. So yeah, I've kind of had to learn that pretty quickly, especially when Uncle Kamaka Brown threw me into this position basically and just said, go out there. And I'm like, oh, I don't know what I'm going to say. Yeah, so I get it. So I just kind of had to, you know, create my own. So I love that you guys do that. And I hear stories, I'll hear about like business affairs and, you know, athletes when they, before they go out onto the field or to the court or whatever, they have a ritual. They have like certain things, like LeBron James has to do that with his hands, with the whatever, you know,
with the
powder. And then, you know, baseball players, it sometimes can't step onto the field other than maybe their right foot as opposed to the left foot. And yeah, it's weird. I hear all about these like superstitions and not superstitions, but just kind of rituals that kind of gets their mindset going. Cause you know, and I love to hear all that. You know me with the backstory. Love to hear all that. So we're getting ready to wrap this up, but I have two more quick questions for you. So first of all, and this might be a little bit hard because I just realized when I asked this question or I wrote this over to you guys, I said, wait a minute, I'm asking them what they would tell their younger self, but they're, you know, it's not like they're like, you know, in the 50s, they're still young them already. So, I mean, what would you tell maybe your younger self? What would you tell them, or what would you tell your younger selves that you know now that you didn't know then?
I think, well, that's a great question because we started very young in the entertainment world. And that was like, I think my parents put me out on stage at 5. I think at 14, I was very, like, you're a teenager, you're very self-conscious about every little thing. And they put me in braces too, but I still had to perform. I think if I could tell myself, like my 14-year-old self, like, it's going to be okay. I think you can do anything that you want. I know it's cheesy as it sounds, very Disney, yeah. Whatever you want, but you really can if you let your mind just like, you know, mm-hmm. give into that. Like, you know, you meet somebody who's like, let's do jazz. You could do jazz. You could sing this, you could sing that. And if I can tell myself that it's going to be okay. And, you know, acne and all, like you'll be okay. And you can sing your voice, just practice and just
right.
Like, yeah, I wish I knew a little bit more like that I am today, but it's definitely like, it doesn't matter what you wear or what you do. It's how you present things and all the hard work that you put in together. It's fine. You could be nerdy and you can still be on stage. So,
yeah.
It does matter, but it's not as consequential as you think it is.
Yeah. There's a lot of things that don't get into your head.
Yeah.
And then for you, Danny?
I would say don't be afraid to be yourself. Because, well, for several reasons, no one's ever going to be better at being you than you.
Mm-hmm.
That is the only thing you will ever be the best at, is being yourself.
It's being yourself, right.
When you allow yourself to do that, you immediately relax much more than you ever could when you're trying to be something else.
Right.
You're much more happy than you would be. And also there's this big what if that happens in this industry from time to time where it's like, you know, if you get known for something that isn't you, mm-hmm. it's not fun. You know, yeah. you really want to, you know, there are millions of people out there, and there are hundreds of thousands of them have talent of some sort. The thing that makes you special is your story, and you can only really do that when you're being true to yourself.
Yeah.
Mm. So, but I understand that it's a hard thing to embrace, and I understand that maybe being yourself involves some refinements that, you know, over time you can work on, but never try to be something else just because it seems like it'll get you further at the time, because I can guarantee at some point either you're going to get tired of it or other people will get tired of it. The best thing you can do is always be yourself, and if you become really successful by doing that, then great, you don't even have to work. If not, then at least you're being true to yourself.
I like that. So be true to yourself, be authentic, right? And then, you know, just and don't be something that you're not. I think that's all very, very wise advice for all the young ones coming up. Speaking of which, I'd like to ask, we'll go out with this, is what would you tell aspiring musicians, vocalists, performers who want to be like Kailua Moon, who want to be like Danny, who want to be like Nani, you know, somebody that just, you know, is mesmerized by, say, you're playing, you know, I've seen this before. I've seen it where, you know, young kids are watching musicians and they're, you know, they get the spark. And I see young vocalists who go and they see their favorite performer or singer, and you know, now they're inspired. What would you tell them? What would you tell them, and what parting words of wisdom would you share with them?
It's very hard. You're gonna go through a lot. There's a lot of money that you put into what you love. We do this, we're independent artists, so any tour, any, you know, flights, venues, we're doing it all. We don't have a manager.
And there's times when the gig that pays may not be the best gig for you. And there's times when the gig that doesn't pay may be the best gig for you. It's just,
to go out and to perform, share your songs, write original music. That's what my dad would always tell. Write original music. Save your money. Practice a lot. Tell your own story. Be true to yourself. And have fun with it. Don't take it too seriously, because things change drastically. I thought I was going to be performing like as a pop star kind of thing. But it turns out that I am staying true to my culture. And there's a lot of people out there that will listen to you. It doesn't have to be just one age. It could be from 5 all the way to 80. I've met so many people. And that's the exciting thing about music. It's don't put yourself in a box.
Yeah.
Branch out. Because you'll meet phenomenal people that way, and really practice on your, hone into your craft, find yourself through it. And it's going to be, you know, negative, it'll be positive, it's going to be all over the place, but just stay true to yourself and be healthy. So.
Yeah. Knowing what you want when you're going into it really helps too. Like if you're going into this business thinking, I want to be a top 40 star, then there are steps you should take to do that. If you go into this wanting to share your own unique piece and you want to go this more independent route, and then that's a different path and there's different steps you should take for that. Being clear about what you want, and being and once you know what you want, taking the time to really perfect your craft and work smartly along that path that leads in the direction you want to be going. That's really the only other thing I'd say.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so very much. And where can we follow you? Where can we follow you on social media?
We are on Facebook, Kailua Moon Music. Mm-hmm. We are also on Instagram, Kailua Moon Music. And we are on kailuamoon.com, where you can find all of the events, shows, also all of our songs. We have a few.
Our latest album
is going to be on there. And that's kind of where you can.
Awesome. So I remember, everybody, I will have all that information down below in the show notes. If you're watching this on YouTube, it will be down in the description box. If you're listening on podcasts, it will be in the show notes below. So be sure to check it out. Thank you guys so very much. I truly appreciate it. I feel like I just had like this, you know, intimate conversation. I got to know Kailua Moon, and you all can be envious. No, just kidding. No, I'm super excited. Now, I did this because I know there's people that wanted to know, you know, just wanted to know about Kailua Moon and to know where, how can we follow you, and then to be able to, you know, just stay in touch with you vicariously through your social medias and whatnot. So if we don't already get to see you in person, the luxury of being able to see you guys in person, at least we know we can at least follow you. And, you know.
You're awesome. Thank you.
Thank you for having
us. Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Take care.
Aloha, this is Kailua Moon. My name is Nani.
And I'm Danny.
And we just released our newest album called Back to Paradise.
It will be available on our website. You can check that out at kailuamoon.com, and it is also going to be coming to your favorite streaming platform.
So stay tuned for Annie Talks.
Thank you for watching. Be sure to comment and like below.
Oh, sweaty. Okay.
I know. I'm so sorry. Virtual hug. Thank you, guys.